This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Feeling the aftermath of the Cavs and Indiana. I didn't get a chance to hear any of your thoughts on the game yesterday, too, either, Jeff. Just can you give me your...
You're going to make me rehash the whole thing?
No, I don't want you to rehash
the
whole thing.
Come on, man.
I listened to the game on the radio in the end, very end of the game. I had to listen to the game on the radio. And I'm listening to Jim Jones, and like I trust him big time. And he's describing a game to me, and I texted both of you guys at the end of it, like it was WWE. Like, what are the refs watching? What's going on here? And then when I had a chance to get home, I was like, I get it. A part of this is playoff basketball, and when things happen, and you get to the end of it. But, you know, even just the Halliburton free throw, I mean, the ball was in the air, and he had a full foot inside the paint. Like, how does that not get called? And then you turn around and you get the two-minute report, which does anyone think these are a waste of time?
Yep.
I mean, they're just aggravating. They're absolutely aggravating. The two-minute report came back and said the league identified two plays in the final minute that should have been nullified and replaced with jump balls at midcourt, calling them incorrect no calls. Should they go back and replay the last minute?
Also had one against Donovan where the Pacers got the shaft.
And to be honest with you, listening to the game, Jim had that. Jim said that. He's like, oh, Donovan got away with one there.
What about missed calls in the previous 46 minutes that led to points for one team or another?
Yeah, I'll never argue this because this is my argument in the national championship game when Ohio State beat Miami. Like, people get all bent out of shape and say there was a bad call against the Bucket. I'm like, well, wasn't Ohio State supposed to lose that game by like 28?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to worry about one play at the end of the game. But, I mean, that's a pretty bad miss. The free throw violation was a bad miss. I mean, he was in the – I mean, his foot is completely down inside the paint, and the ball is still in the air on its way to the hoop.
And this goes back to the NBA two-minute thing, and it brings up this statement. So what? Right? So what? You missed a call. Great. You going to go back and replay it? Nope. So it's done. Bring on game three. I hate to be – so, you know, blunt about it, but so what? I don't, why the NBA does that, I don't know. Because a call that was made in the first quarter could have been a 5-point swing in a game, and that could have been the deciding factor. So, you know, if they think it's completely, you know, just being clear about everything, well, all it does is muddy the waters.
Well, is the transparency that they're trying to portray here by coming back and saying, yep, we found two plays in the final minute of the game that should have been nullified and replaced with jump balls at midcourt. Does that, are they showing clarity for who? The bettors? Their relationship with whoever they have with the betting outlets?
You'd have to ask them. I have no idea. I think it's a silly thing to do.
To me, it smells like it's about saying, hey, there's nothing dirty about our game. We're going to tell you, when something's wrong, we're going to tell you. But if you don't correct it, who cares if you tell us?
Right.
And when's the last time we had a protest overturned in any game, in any sport? Can you remember? I don't ever remember a protest of a game where it ever came back and the league goes, you know what? That was wrong. We got to come back and replay it. It just doesn't happen. So they've got to move on and move forward. I don't know. It just felt like to me, and I watch most of it, like 90 some percent of the game, that it just they were put to a task of a game where they were missing two All-Stars, and the challenge was going to be unbelievably hard. They got out to big leads, and I kept talking to the people that were around me going, all right, it's still the NBA, and you know, as much as I want to believe a 20-point lead is insurmountable, it's not. And let's not forget what Indiana did in the last game against Milwaukee to get here. They know what they're doing, and they know how to just kind of work their way back in this thing. And, you know, even on TV, it was like, hey, look at this, this is an important basket at the end of the third quarter because it keeps Indiana hanging around, and that's exactly what happened. And then Cavs took some really stupid shots and forced some plays that I'm still shaking my head on, and Mitchell was killing it, but you knew eventually he might run out of gas. When you're bucking towards a 50-point night, you know, you're going to run out of gas. It's a lot of energy. And, you know, all those times you end up on the floor because you're just spent, you're asking for something crazy to happen at the end of the game, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, can they come back from this? And I know you're going to say, well, of course they can come back from this, but
unlikely.
It's devastating. What is it, 7% chance? Less than an 8% chance?
It's been done 5 times before. In fact, there's a gentleman named Sam Amico who's going to join us at 11:20 who has a great story on his HoopsWire website about that.
About teams that have been able to come back?
Mm-hmm. Down 2-0 after losing the first 2 games at home. It's been done 5 times.
Hmm. And that's just 2 games at home, though. 5 times to come back. Teams have come back from before.
The first 2 games at home.
But if you lose 2 on the road, that's not the end of the world. Is that what you, I thought I read
it
was like 30
something. I'm not saying one way
something.
Or the other. You lose 2 in a row anywhere, it's not good.
No.
But, you know, Cavs did that back when they beat the Pistons in 07. Lost the first 2 games, won 4 straight.
Those games were at home? I can't remember. They are one of the 5 teams. I didn't
know. No. I just said they lost the first 2 in Detroit and then came back and won 4 straight.
And that, I mean, that was the series of LeBron
dragging Sasha Pavlovich and everybody else to the finals.
1.0. Yeah. I got to believe the health is the first step in trying to bring this thing back to Cleveland. Are we concerned about a sweep? Do you think they're going to get swept?
No, I didn't say that.
I'm asking
you,
that.
You said, am I concerned?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be? Right? You're dinged up and you're going on the road. And Indiana's a very good basketball team. Nobody wanted to believe that when I told everybody that before the series started.
Okay, take a bow, man.
No, I'm not taking a bow. Yeah. It's just, I mean, take a look around the NBA. NBA teams are really, there are 3, 4, 5 in every conference that are really pretty good. People don't want to realize that.
The harder part is the reality that the regular season probably doesn't mean anywhere near what you think it might or you want it to mean. That's the hard part for me. Because when I look at this and I look at what a great, successful, fun team it was to watch during the regular season, and now you're in this other mode where referees swallow their whistle on a lot of stuff. It's extremely physical. You know, you may not get the breaks you got during the regular season. You may get a ton of breaks depending on who the player is. I'm not saying the politics of the game kind of seem to get into it a little bit, but I do think it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, you want the refs to let them play. You want a game to be decided by the players on the floor and not by the referees. At least that's the way when I watch a game. That's it. And so when people say the referees are swallowing their whistle in the first 2 games, I can't. Doesn't really bother me. I want teams to play. I don't want someone to get punched in the chest when they're in the air trying to, you know, score. But by the same token, if there's minor contact, let it go. Just let them play because that's what I want to see. And maybe I'm just being selfish, but I also think that it's a difficult pill to swallow when you're down 0-2 and you're like, why do they suddenly call the game differently when we get to the playoffs?
I don't think it's that drastically different.
I don't think it's anywhere near what it was when we were younger.
Not at all.
When we were younger, I just felt like...
It was a war.
Yeah, and it was like you could pretty much get away with anything you wanted to as long as no one bled.
Right. Is it a little more physical right now? Seems to be, yep.
I know, but going... I mean, just looking at this whole thing and then having the 2-minute report come out, like... It's just the 2-minute report to me is just aggravating. Oh, great. Oh, you're telling me that was a line violation? Oh, thanks, man. I feel so much better about being down 0-2 when you're missing two All-Stars and you don't know if you're going to be missing these three guys going into going into game three, where you've got to win games on the road in the NBA, although I guess Indiana proved that you can win games on the road. It's not a big deal. Why has it been so why has it been so hard for these for home teams to win? It's, it just seems weird.
Because teams in the NBA are good.
Yeah, I get that, but there's no, I mean, don't you think it's weird? We've had one home win in the playoffs in this round. Right? Oklahoma City. Was that last night? I'm not crazy. Yes.
Yeah. The Golden State Series, we haven't had one yet, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, teams are good. I don't mean to sound so simple about it, but people don't understand teams in the NBA can really play. And some teams don't spend the regular season looking to have the best regular season record. Now, that might be a fault of the NBA, but they tend to try and get their team ready for the playoffs.
I don't know. We sit here, we try to figure this thing out. You've got, you know, three guys hurt. You're down 0-2. You got your two-minute report that should probably make you feel better, that maybe they should have won, but it doesn't matter. And then I hate it
because it doesn't say anything about the other 46 minutes when perhaps, you know, the one team received five calls that cost the other team 10 points. They should just do away with it.
Should plays be replayed regardless if you've got the timeout in the final 2 minutes? We do it in other sports. Should they just automatically be replayed?
That's what I want. Sure you I want the final 2 minutes to take 35 minutes instead of the 30 that it takes now.
Why are we? But why would we be in a hurry to get things right? Who cares if it takes 35 minutes? What is that? I mean, so what else are we doing? And if you're there,
I'm going to sleep.
Well, then why are you watching the game in the first place if you're worried about going to sleep? Yeah. Oh man, I can't get them another.
The dishes.
They can't have another minute and a half to look at that thing. I mean, I've got some serious sleeping to do. Why are they keeping me up at night? It's a school night, don't they know that? NBA.
I know you have the technology. You can't just continually stop games and review everything that happened because, like in football, there's holding on every play in football. There's a foul on every possession in basketball. Every one. Somebody did something to somebody that could be called a foul. So, I mean, how much are we going to do? Are we just going to let the referees do their jobs? I'll let the referees do their jobs.
I'd like to see them do their jobs too, but, I mean, if we're missing major calls in the final 2 minutes of a game, they're not doing their job.
It's not just in the final 2 minutes. It's all game long.
I know, but I'm saying, you know, everyone knows that the final 2 minutes of any game are under the microscope, and we sit here and talk about them. I don't disagree with anything you're saying about a foul in the first minute of the game being any less important than the last minute of the game. So 216-474-0092, your thoughts on where we're going with this thing. Sam Amico is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
There are all kinds of things going on. Don't miss a minute of The Fan with the latest breaking news during your workday, or if you're out on the go, you can stream us at 92.3thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092, just kind of talking a little bit about the two minute report that came out after the Cavs lost 120-119. First one to 120 in the series gets the win. I was saying this last week, and that's kind of the way it's played out twice now for the Pacers. So we'll see if the Cavaliers can rebound and at least get this thing to 2-1 and then make it into a series if they can come back in game three. But it's in Indianapolis. They've got their work cut out for them. But, you know, I gotta be honest, I thought there was a part of me in game two, Jeff, going into it, and we had talked before that I thought the Cavs were going to get blown out in game two because of all the injuries.
I thought they were going to win.
Yeah.
I told you, I thought they would win regardless.
Wrong. Yeah, we were both wrong in this thing. So,
yep. Honestly, Andy, I thought they were going to win. Going into the game, all game long, I told Tom yesterday, I said, I thought they were going to win it until they didn't. Mm. And one shot did it.
And when they were up 20, I kept going, man, I can't believe Jeff was this right. I didn't see this coming. I didn't expect
this. They played their buns off, but they were really good.
We also went back, and that one thought throughout the game was, who has the best player? And for the majority of it, it was Donovan Mitchell.
Without question.
But at the end, it was Halliburton who came up with the big plays. And, you know, for anybody that maybe the worst thing that when we go back and look at this was the overrated story about him in The Athletic. That might turn out to be the worst thing for Milwaukee, us, and whoever comes out of the other series now. Because he might be inspired and playing – at a level where maybe he didn't even think he could play at, because he has come up with just gigantic plays in the first two games. Yeah.
Oh, he's big time.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not doing anything I don't think that folks didn't expect he was capable of.
No, I'm just saying,
he's
though.
Really good.
But when you have a player that good who's also motivated beyond how good he really is, I mean, it's like, oh, wow. And he stuck it to us, you know? So that's the way it kind of plays out. Let's take some phone calls. Kevin is in Cuyahoga Falls. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hey, Kevin.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good. How are you? How are you feeling?
Oh, well, a little depressed, obviously. Our Cavs took it on the chin twice, so that was not fun to watch. So, but, you know, I want to add to the conversation of, you know, which I haven't really heard a lot of people talking about. Have we all forgotten that this same Indiana Pacers team was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year? I mean,
and beat Milwaukee and New York to get there.
And not only that, Jeff, a couple of those games against New York, they literally thumped them hard. I mean, they manhandled New York. So, I mean, they proved, this team has proven last year, and they're proving again this year. Come the playoffs, these Pacers, first of all five guys play at 100% every second of the game. No one takes a playoff ever, and they come and they play hard and they play physical, and that's their style of play, and it's basically, we're coming to beat you. And the other thing they've shown, not only last year in the playoffs, but this year, even when they get down, you know, we've had them, as we all seen, we've had them down 20 points. Doesn't even faze them. I mean, you can just tell the swagger and the confidence they have. They just know they're going to come back and win the game. So I just think this is more of a maybe our miss in overlooking these guys. I think last year they proved they're a legit team that should be taken seriously. And clearly in this series, they're proving they belong on the court, and they are definitely a team to be taken very seriously.
Fans may have overlooked Indiana. You can be sure the team didn't, Kevin. They know. Indiana's very talented. They're very good. You can be sure they didn't.
Andy, I got to tell you, I do have that pit in the bottom of my stomach, especially if Hunter and Mobley are out. Yeah, I am worried about a sweep. I really am. I just don't know how we can get past them with those two on the bench. If they don't get out there and play defensively and offensively, I just don't. We can't be jacking threes up all day, and we're not going to win with Mitchell shooting 40 times a game. I don't see that being the formula to get past Indiana. If that's
funny, Kevin. I don't want to live in the moment because, like, I had a pit in my stomach all day before game two. I was worried about it there too, and I keep thinking, you know, when you're living in the moment and how things are playing. Look, Indiana's done this not only against Cavaliers; they did this against Milwaukee too. They have these big comebacks at the end of the game. And so now you start thinking about that. And now the other thing that comes into play is everything you thought about Miami dying after game two, especially, you're praying that doesn't happen to the Cavaliers the next two games. I don't think it will. I think they'll be more competitive than Miami was. Whether that means they win or lose or not doesn't matter. But I know it's just the lack of competitive play from Miami did not help the Cavaliers at all. At all.
Yes.
Because the Pacers were playoff ready, and I don't think the Cavs were coming into this series. Kev, thank you. Appreciate it. Bill is in Parma. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Great program.
Thank you.
Hey, Jeff, another program to watch is Wanted Dead or Alive with Steve McQueen. You just can't go wrong with that.
All right, I've got to dig it up. I'll look.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, thank you, Bill.
But here's what I've always wondered about a little bit with injuries. And that is that the idea is they can play or they can't play right now. And with an ankle or a sprained thumb or whatever, you can't tell me for one play at the end of the game you could not have used somebody like Mobley to block out or to get a rebound on a free throw that you would need. Or let's say there was a pass in that you needed to throw over the top of somebody. I don't understand why they don't dress these guys out. They're on the bench. They can walk on the court. I'm not asking for them to run a mile, but you can use these guys at some level. And I never understood that. If you could explain that to me, I'd like to know. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Bill, that's a fine question. I thought it was really interesting. Sam Amico is going to join us coming up at 11:20 from hoopswire.com. Sam, I was talking to Sam last night, and he said something about Ron Harper. Ron Harper, the former Cav up there on the Twitter, or X, said, and he tweeted this out, "I'm sorry, but down one, and you have three of your best players sit out, I don't understand today's players. Please help me, because in no way I'm missing a playoff game down one at home. Tell me your thoughts. Now, is that old school thinking? Yeah. Is it also, Andy, legit thinking?
I mean, I don't know.
Bill's point is really interesting, except if, and here's the point, Bill. We don't know the severity of the injury. You're not allowed to say, you know, you can't say, you know, Evan tweaked his ankle, he rolled his ankle, whatever he did to
his
ankle.
Could be worse. I mean, you never know.
You never know. And if he's even guarding the inbound pass or something like that, if he's jumping and does something more to the ankle, I understand your point completely, Bill. I understand, and I agree with most of it. But I just know pro athletes. If they can go, they're going to go. And I understand what Ron said, because that was kind of a different era. But Andy, like DeAndre Hunter, if he doesn't have a thumb on his shooting hand, can he be effective enough to go help you play defense or something? I don't know. If Evan can't get up and down the floor, does he help you at all? Sam pointed out last night, he said, remember when Isaiah Thomas, they just taped the thing like crazy and he went out and played and won a playoff game? Yeah. Those things happen. You know, if Darius can't push off on his big toe, well, he doesn't do you any good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I screwed up my ankle 2 months ago. Something, I don't know what I did. But, you know, I was feeling better. Well, I don't know what I did yesterday, but I woke up this morning and could barely walk. I'm limping around in here today. If his injury is something similar to that, well, he's not going to do his team any good. But I think the inclination for all of us is to say, tape it up, take a shot, go play. Andy, I get that. I understand that. And don't you think they almost have to in game three?
Yeah, I, your season is on the brink, man. You're 3-0, you're done. I mean, there's no question. So it's like, and by the way, being down 0-2 right now makes me feel like they're just right there on the verge of done.
They don't win tomorrow night, they're done.
Yeah, I mean, is it fair?
No team's ever been down 3-0 and come back.
I don't know if it's fair to say that today's player is softer.
I don't know if that's fair either.
And I don't know. And maybe today, you know, in some ways you may want to say today's player is smarter. I do know, and you know, in my world, what the conversations I have, right? And what do you want to take a guess at what the question is that I hear more often than any, just because of the people that I'm around all the time? And I know you're going to make fun of me.
Can I have $5?
No, I don't normally ask for $5. If I'm going to ask, I'm asking big, so at least ten or $6.50. No, it's the old, like, I keep saying to myself, and I talk to other people about. I don't think the players that I watched growing up would have sat out on some of these injuries. I'm not saying that the guys that we have sitting out right now shouldn't be sitting out. I don't. Excuse me.
We don't know what their condition is. Honestly, you just don't know.
But the major conversation I get, and this is from non-hockey players too. It's like, do you think a hockey player would miss an NHL Stanley Cup game if they had a toe situation, or they had an ankle situation, or they had? And like everybody I look at says no, but then again, most of those people are hockey or hockey related in some ways. But it's not that. It's football guys too that I'll say something. They'll be like, man, I don't know how these guys are missing that. But we just don't know. We don't know how bad these injuries are.
No.
And like if Evan Mobley's got something more severe than what we think, what if it's fractured? What if it's cracked? What if something's going on in there that if he takes a hard basketball move that he's done? You know, it's not worth it. I mean... I know it was a great regular season, but do we really want to get to that point? And, you know, that I don't know. You think about I think about Jack O'Callaghan, who was on that 80 Olympic hockey team, that if you ever saw the movie, he got called out because he had a knee injury that had hurt before, and the doctors were like, there is no way he's getting back on the ice. And Kurt Russell plays that part so well, and he starts screaming at him in the locker room. It's just saying, you know, hey, you know, if you got a bruise on your knee. Well, it was way more than that. And he aggravated him so much that he got the adrenaline flow. He ends up going back out there. And you watch those scenes that are Hollywood. I just don't know, man. I just don't know. All right, we'll take more of your phone calls on this and the situation that the Cavaliers are in. They're down 0-2. And we all thought that this thing was going to be Cavs-Boston Eastern Conference Finals. Guess what? The Celtics aren't living up to their end of the bargain either. 216-474-0092, Basket of Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.